Welcome to Women in Power Active, an initiative started by UR Sportswear to empower women to find their own active adventure. I'm your host, Jacqueline Gross. Today, we are honored to introduce Melissa Adao, affectionately known as B-Girl Mel. Her remarkable journey embodies decades of experience across choreography, breakdancing, community, leadership, mentorship, personal empowerment. Join us as we delve into Mel's story of dance, creativity, resilience, and boundless pursuit of dreams. In her words, you're never too old and it's never too late. Mel, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to have you. I've been like so looking forward to this all day. Okay, so we always start with this question because, you know, how did you start your journey with athleticism? How did you become active? Was it someone in your family? Was it somebody of your friend group that inspired you? Like, how did you begin?
Yes, well, before breaking, I was actually just a dancer, like a freestyle dancer, or rather a party dance dancer, and predominantly a choreo dancer. But my dance journey actually started when I was really, really young. I started to see a lot of things on TV, you know, like music videos, when MTV had music videos. And there was also a TV show called In Living Color. I'm not sure if you heard of that. It's kind of like a black version of SNL where all the actors are black. And so I would record these music videos that had dance in it, and as well as like the In Living Color show, because they would have this intermission series with the Fly Girls, who would perform these jazz funk routines or hip hop routines in between each skit. So I was really drawn to that. And that's how I actually started to learn how to dance, is because of I was attracted to what I saw. I was like, that's so cool. I want to do it too. I loved music. And it even was something that I did with my neighborhood friends. So it was really just something like a hobby, something we all enjoyed doing. We would perform in front of each other, make up dances. So it was nothing too formal. So I was actually dancing since I was a small child, but formal dancing started when I was in high school. And then again, you know, kind of going into diving deeper into the choreo scene, going into formal training. I was in college, or when I got into college, I got a BA in dance, pursued the LA thing. And then the whole breaking journey, which is, I know, what a lot of people are now associating me with today. That breaking journey didn't start until I was 37. So that was about 2016. And I was actually a seasonal performer at the San Diego Zoo for their nighttime zoo. And most of the cast were breakers except me. And it was one, you know, it's just that time where I'm like, all right, I've been a choreo dancer for over 20 years. I've exhausted my energy and my curiosity of becoming an even more, stronger, I guess, choreo dancer. It wasn't really giving me anything anymore. So now getting into breaking, it was like interesting because I'm like, oh, I love what they're doing. I want to get into it too. And, you know, I went to my first practice, and then the rest is history.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I know that was a long version of how I got into breaking, but my dancing did start when I was young, but the formal training started later in life.
So when you were dancing as a, you know, a young child, like didn't have any formal training at all? Like
nothing. I was self-taught through the TV. So it was like the VHS era, where I would record something on the VHS and it's like pause, press, play. And that was my class. That was my dance class, is learning these routines that I would see the dancers do in music videos or recording the Fly Girls.
Wow, that's so cool. I feel like that's like you're like a pioneer of that, because like a lot of people do that with YouTube now, but like nobody was doing that then.
Well, you know, I do hear stories with at least, you know, the breaking scene who are my age, they all learn through VHS as well. This is frowned upon now. Even though people do it, but they would like bite other people's moves and then do it, you know, in other battles, but they would learn other people's moves through these VHS tapes, and they would call it like gold, because, you know, at the time it's hard to get access to these VHS tapes, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
So then you start when you're 37 to start breaking. I'm stealing your lingo. I read this. Isn't that something that I came up with? Because I don't know anything about breakdancing. But you started when you're 37. Like how, I mean, I just think one time I went to like a Zumba class. I am a runner by background. I have no business doing any dancing, but I mean, you had a lot of history of it. Like, how did you, first of all, get up the nerve to just try something new like that? And like other, you know, how did you get in that? I mean, it sounds like the San Diego Zoo was kind of a gateway to that, but yeah, I'll let you tell the story.
Definitely was, you know, being around other breakers who just loved doing it, me being in a place in my life where I was needing something different, wanting to still be active. And I was already at that time, like exploring different freestyle avenues, like popping, locking, and all these other, you know, open style elements. And so when I got into breaking, it was something that was fun for me. It was challenging though, that's for sure, but it was really fun. And I was in some way thriving early. It's a lot of work, but I was doing pretty well. I'm still, you know, learning, and I feel like it was a very fun dance for me to perform, to learn, and to just immerse myself in the community specifically.
Yeah, what's the breakdance community like? Like, what is it, pretty encouraging, or like what, you know?
Well, okay, so it's so funny because I have conversations like this with a lot of other breakers, and I travel a lot, so I'm always asking every community. So, what's your breaking scene like here? You know, in San Diego. Okay, so I'll say this: worldwide, every community has their own energy.
Okay.
Speaking from someone who's born and raised in San Diego, and then planting my roots in San Diego, it's really nice seeing that the San Diego breaking scene is healthy and safe. So if anyone ever wanted to get into breaking and they started in San Diego, it would be a safe and fun space for them to learn. Even for people who are from other parts of the world, they'll travel to San Diego just to learn, because we have a lot of really respected breakers who live here. And so they're like, I want a session with, you know, Eddie Styles, or I want a session with Dino Rock. The names I'm mentioning are people who have reputable reputations in the scene.
Okay.
And so it's nice that we have that here. You know, other communities, you know, I won't really say any specific scenes, but some people would say, oh, you know, it's toxic, or oh, it's dying. But, you know, for me, I'm really just thankful that ours is healthy and still growing, and it's fun to be a participant in.
So did you feel like when you started out, it was pretty welcoming for you as
a 1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%. And if I can even add to, I started in 2016, and you know, before my time, it was a scene that's predominantly, or was a male dominated scene. So, you know, you probably, I imagine, I'm just making up a number, but this is the, you know, estimate, maybe like, you know, 75%, 80% males, 20% females when you go to these events. And I came around the time where I believe they coined it the rise of the B-girls, where a lot of women started to come up in the scene. There were spaces where they were, you know, getting B-girls to shine, you know, creating categories where it's like a B-girl only category, where this didn't exist back then because there weren't enough B-girls. But because they've been creating spaces and developing lanes for B-girls to thrive, now more B-girls are starting to feel safe to come up. And so I came up during that time. And so that's another reason why it felt very, very welcoming and very easy for me to participate in so many things, because there was a space for me to participate.
Do you think that's why maybe you tried breakdancing later, because there wasn't like those avenues before?
No, I mean, I started breaking late because I just started breaking.
Okay,
late.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I mean, I never thought I was going to get into breaking at 37. Yeah. I really, like, my mind was like, all right, you know, I'm going to do choreo. I'm going to, you know, or be a part of the choreo scene, choreograph productions, maybe be the department chair at our dance department. Mm-hmm. But I never thought I would get into breaking, and I never would have thought breaking would take me where it's taking me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. I mean, yeah, you have a huge education for dance too. Like, but do you think like somebody who might not have that huge background could still like show up and just try it out?
Yes. Oh, a
Okay.
1,000%. And you know, and when we say education, like if you're speaking on, you know, like higher education, like getting a bachelor's or a master's degree, you know, it's actually kind of rare to see hip hop in higher education. And I want to say only recently in these last couple of years, you're starting to see more hip hop programs, classes that now, you know, give you credit to graduate. There, you see them popping up more often, but this definitely wasn't there before in community colleges. And even when I first got hired at, you know, the colleges here in San Diego, the class wasn't even called hip hop. They called it American street dance, or they even called it jazz funk to wiggle it, you know, because for whatever reason, they felt like hip hop wasn't something to add into the department until later. And later they saw the value, but they didn't see it when I first started.
Wow, that's so cool. Like, you truly just like kind of grew up as it grew, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
into it.
And I think you know, I love seeing that as I was and as I continued to, you know, push the importance of hip hop and showing how important it is to have it in our program, and how that when they graduate from our program, they can still continue to be a working dancer. They started to see, oh, okay, yeah, it is important to have hip hop a required course for our, you know, and I'm speaking for at least where I'm involved in. There's other, you know, colleges that are getting there, or, you know, doing different things in their hip hop programs. But, you know, to kind of go back to your question, like if anyone wants to get involved in breaking, you definitely don't need, you know, higher education to get there. I think you just have to have a hunger to want to learn, you know, patience and curiosity. And, you know, the older you are, you know, like just kind of have a different awareness of what our body is capable, what our body is capable of doing at the time. And just, you know, have fun in the process of learning.
Yeah. Speaking of learning, there's a group that I believe you're part of the founders of, the Confident Dancers. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So I'm co-founder, and my husband is the other co-founder of the Confident Dancers. And it's not a breaking specific program. It's actually a program that when you complete it, you will leave being a confident dancer, and you can dance freely in a public or a private space. And the reason why we created the Confident Dancers is because what I was able to create in person at the colleges, we wanted to create it online and make it accessible for people to experience what I'm able to teach in person, but online. So, you know, our first, you know, batch of students, we actually had people representing from, you know, the East Coast, from Germany, here in the West Coast, where what I was teaching at the colleges, I'm basically just plugging it in this online course. And it's been really exciting, you know, so it's nice to see that what I was able to apply here in SoCal, or in the colleges here in SoCal, also applies, resonates, and, you know, people feel so connected and empowered through this online format. So it's like something's happening, something's working, and we're still in the process of like continuing to develop it and just kind of get more people to be aware of this program, because it's fairly new.
No, it sounds awesome, just because like I know, like even myself, like I've always been like so impressed with dancers, because I'm like a runner, and so I'm very stiff and rigid with my like lateral movement is not great for me, and just like watching that dance motion and just being like fluid is just so cool. But even when, you know, I do get in public settings, I do feel super uncomfortable dancing in front of people. It's not that I can't dance. It's just that you don't have like, you have to find that like freedom of like self-acceptance too, which I feel is like a big part of like what you preach. Some of your, I mean, I was watching some of your content, and it was just like talking about all those like kind of negative self-talks and getting out of your own head. Is that kind of like what you used to start out for when you started out, or?
Yes, it will, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that too, because Confident Dancer, we do learn dance skills, but it's also a mindset based program. So people register or people sign up for this program because there's obviously a pain point going on within themselves and they just want to be able to break out of that. And we use and so when we call it the confident dancer, we're drawing a lot of people who just want to build confidence in their life. And we're using dance as a way to get them, as a way for them to access this confidence. So yeah, okay, they're learning dance skills, which they're probably, you know, excited to learn, but they're not just gonna have confidence in dance. They're gonna have confidence in life already. Being able to talk to people, job interviews, knowing that they could pursue other things in their life. And so, you know, that's the thing that I love about this program, because we're walking them through, okay, acknowledging what negative thought processes are existing and how can we take ourselves out of it? So that's also what's happening. And my husband's really great at doing that. So he's spearheading a big portion of that as well.
Yeah, that's amazing. 'Cause that's definitely one of the top things that stops people from trying something new too, is just that they just don't, either they're worried about what they look like that they don't know everything. Like, that kind of gets you over not just dance, but going to a job interview, going to meet up with a group of people that you've never met before. Like, it's just a really good gateway to all different types of things. So
yeah. And it's been so beautiful because, you know, we just finished a 6-week beta program with our first batch of dancers. And it's amazing and beautiful to hear the feedback that we've been getting, especially from people, you know, and I think as someone who's in their, you know, early 40s, or I'm about to be 45 in a couple of months, actually, but someone in my 40s still doing this work, still working on myself, I'm attracting, you know, individuals in the same age bracket who are also struggling, and now they're feeling like, oh wow, like I actually am feeling good about myself. They're prioritizing joy in the process rather than like, I gotta get this result, because it's such a, like, what I'm learning is the older we get, we're bringing in this like baggage that we've developed over our lifespan that creates this block from us to be able to enjoy what we want to pursue. And because dance and breaking specifically is such a form where people are like, all right, you know, you got to be young. I'm too old for this. You know, I'm too old for this stuff.
Yep.
And it's like, no, you know, we're not, like, our mind or the people around us are telling us that we're too old, but we are not too old for this. You know, if we just kind of, we need to believe in ourselves. We need to be around people who also believe in us and who also think the same way we want to think, like, it's possible.
Yep.
So for these students who came into this program and then they're saying, you know, like, oh, I finally entered a cypher and I felt so free. Yeah. Or another dancer already feels confident to enter their first battle. It's like, okay, there's something great happening here. And, you know, I'm glad to see that results are showing that even with the program that's not in person, that the energy and the information still resonates in an online format. So that's really cool to see.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I want to go check it out. You're so
please
on
do.
Oh, okay. I want to talk about Cypher. My partner, he actually used to break dance when he was younger, and he told me Cypher yesterday, so I could impress you with my knowledge, but you already mentioned it. So tell me about a Cypher and like a battle, the difference, and then like being in a battle. How does that feel? Like, is that really intense?
Okay. Yes. They're definitely two different things. In personal experience, it's really interesting because when I got started into the breaking scene, I was so focused on just battling. So yeah. I would only train to battle. I would only go to these events to battle. Okay. And then it's like, okay, now what? It's like, I couldn't enjoy the event if I get, you know, knocked out of the bracket. And, you know, I also too felt insecure going into a cypher because I felt I had nothing to offer. And so I started to put some work in. This is where a lot of like that mindset stuff started to show up, and all these like toxic self talk and like, you know, insecurity started to show up because I started to like, whoa, what's happening? Like, why do I feel this way? But to speak on your question, the difference between ciphering and competing. So ciphering, it's a very community-based. You know, you're in a circle, everyone takes turns expressing themselves freely. And in a breaking space, the music is better because right now a lot of the music that's being used for these competitions are DJ produced. And you know, it has a very different energy and a different tone. Nothing wrong with it at all, but it just gives a different energy. And the purpose of the music, the DJ produced soundtracks, is so that we can go live on YouTube, Instagram, or whatever, so there's no copyright issue. That's why these a big reason why a lot of these tracks, like they call it live stream tracks, you know, well, at least some people do. And so the music feels different. There's a lot of 90s, a lot of, you know, disco and even funk, boom bap, you know, so a lot, even early 2000 tracks. So the energy feels really celebratory. It feels good. It brings people together. With battling, it's another story because now you're out to get your opponent. You're out to knock out, humiliate, or outdo your opponent. It's one-on-one, and it's a very a high, you know, high intense, high pressure to some, to most, intense moment where that's the moment you train for years for one moment, if that makes sense. Like, I mean, not literally one moment, but you train and then you go to this battle and you have that one moment to like see if you can make the bracket. But with ciphering, you could just keep going in. So you have so much more opportunity to move, to dance. But when you're just focusing on battling, I mean, that's it. You just battle, you know, and then the judges, you're at the mercy of the DJ, because of, you know, hopefully they'll play a good track for you, and you're at the mercy of the judges to allow you to move forward.
So in the cipher, that's more of like kind of practice, but like in a but in still like a stressful situation, kind of.
Well, no, I mean, to some, it might feel stressful. Like if you're someone who still struggles with, you know, being in front of people, like if you still have anxiety issues or like being in front of people, or you're still feeling insecure about what you bring to Cypher, which was me for a very long time, yes, it's gonna feel stressful. You know, now that I've been, you know, there was a point in my life where I was just like, I'm not gonna do anything except get involved in, like, go in the Cypher. I wanna enjoy the Cypher because I don't wanna define my career in breaking simply through entering battles. I wanna be able to get to know the community in the Cypher, not just in these battles. I want to be able to celebrate and just enjoy and just go to a jam and just dance. I don't want to dance only in the battle. And so that's why I kind of been like working through, like, you know, my mindset, because for so long I was so insecure about going in the ciphers. I wanted to, but I couldn't. So there was this mental block. So I had a lot of to work through, and thankfully, I did that work, and I'm still doing work, you know, shadow work. But now I can just go to a jam and enjoy the jam, enjoy the music, enjoy the ciphers without having to feel like I need to enter this battle, because that's how I used to be.
So you're kind of like bringing the battle mentality to ciphers.
I liked when I want to call people out. Yes. And like you could still technically battle someone in the cipher when you call them out, but you know, but for me, I'm not at that space. I just want to enjoy and bring joy in a cipher. That's just where I'm at right now.
And then for like battles, which sound super intense to me, like I used to hate running like indoor track because like you felt like people were staring at you. I can't imagine like dance battling somebody with a bunch of people staring at me. That sounds like so
Well,
much pressure.
I mean, it's like that both in a cipher and in a battle, but we just have to think like, yeah, they're watching us, but no one's judging us in a negative way. We just have to think like, no, they want to see us succeed. They want to see us do well. Like, no one's out to be like, man, I hope this person crap. I mean, unless that's the person you're battling, obviously, yeah, but the people who are just watching just to be a spectator, no one's thinking negative about us as we enter this space. And I think that's where some people struggle. Like some people struggle with being judged in a negative way, thinking that people are watching them in a negative way, or just like feeling insecure with all eyes on them.
Yeah.
But we just have to kind of be aware, like, you know, it's when people are watching us, yeah, they're watching us, but it, not to judge us. If they actually love seeing our joy, they love seeing us out there. They love seeing us celebrate with the music. So it's just like reframing our mindset when we go out in these spaces, whether it's a cipher or a battle.
Yeah, like everybody's like hype and they want to see you like
Yeah, they want to
perform.
see you
Yeah.
thrive. They want
Yeah.
you to succeed. But some, yeah, but sometimes our mind isn't there.
Right. Totally. And then for battling, you mentioned brackets. So it's just two people are up against each other. And then how does that progress?
Yeah. So when I say brackets, like a
Yeah.
lot of these organized competitions, there's usually, they start at a top 16 and then
Okay.
it just kind of, you keep knocking them out. So sometimes at events, you'll have like, 60, 70 people enter for a 1v1 and they only could pick either a top 8 or a top 16. So there, that's where the tough part happens, because you have like, 70 plus, 60 plus people entering, but they only could pick the top 16.
Okay,
And
and
then it starts to go into the knockout. So they, you just keep knocking people out until the final.
so it's like crowd decision or like judges?
Most organized battles are based by the outcome of three judges, three or five judges. But I have been part of some battles where it's crowd, where
Yeah.
the crowd decides who wins. And I'm not really a big fan of that, because now the strategy and approach is very different.
Yeah.
So, because you could just say they're voting, they're obviously voting for their friends,
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But I, yeah, but it's, I'm still like down for those. Those are still like fun to do,
Yeah.
but I'm like a fan of it.
Yeah. No, I can see. I mean, I can see both things being very cool, because like you also get the reactions of the crowd too. So that'd be real super fun. Okay. And so now what are, I know you talked about this in some of your videos, but hopefully you feel like this is a safe place to talk about what you're working on and your goals. I'm
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. So at this very moment, I'm working on getting a continuous windmill, which is a power move that is considered an ABC power move to a lot of breakers. So,
Okay.
or like, yeah, it's like an ABC basic move. And it's hard. I mean, to me, it's hard. And people, I don't care what people say. They're like, oh, it's easy. No, it's not. It's not easy. Because if it was that easy, everyone would get it first try, you
Right.
know? And but it's been fun for me as of lately. It was not fun for me before, but that's what I'm working on now, is getting the continuous windmill where I can just flow and move without having a pause in between, which is where I'm at this moment. And
Okay.
the other thing I'm working on is, I'm working on my form and flow for footwork, which is, like the raw element of breaking, where they're on the floor, they're using their hand, and their hands are on the floor, and their feet are creating these interesting and intricate patterns. So I'm training on that heavily, and I want to enter more footwork battles where it's just focusing on the footwork form of
Okay.
breaking.
But that would be
So
a lot more like upper body strength.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Because,
Yeah.
it's like definitely, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's an exhausting dance. Overall, breaking is a hard and exhausting dance. But, that's what I love about it. And that's what I love doing. That's why I love doing it at this age, because I'm about to be 45. I haven't been breaking that long. So here I am. I'm like, doing things from the ground up. And I'm like, it surprises me that I'm still able to progress and do these things never would think I could do at this age. And I think that's the joy that I have in it, because I'm surprising me. I'm like, oh damn, I could do that. Oh, I'm doing it. So that's fun. I love that part.
Like the skills and working on the specific skills, and seeing yourself like progress as you grow in the sport.
Yeah, this is it. That's, I love that part. I love it. I love it.
That's so cool. Yeah, I was watching some of your videos of you doing the windmill and working with like an exercise band and watching your getting your foot to like come around. So cool.
That was a good day, because then, you just unlock little things, like little by little, And that's all we need to do. And, you know, as, you know, speaking for others who are my age, who want to start seeing results, you know, we just got to know it's just showing up. And, you know, just showing up is a little, that's the extra block we keep adding on. And then as we make that consistent, you know, habit, we'll start to see results. It's because we're, you know, with breaking and just like with social media and just life, we want to see results right away. And with the breaking specifically, it's not, that's not a dance where we could see things right away. It takes, we're building, you know, muscle, we're unlearning things in our mind. So there's so much work that goes along with it. You know, with thriving in this dance and being able to enjoy this dance as well.
Yeah, but it still sounds like even if you just start out and you don't have any skill, there's a lot that you can work on when you first start out that doesn't involve like, oh, I'm not strong enough, or I can't pick up the move right away. There's like so much more that you could be doing that you could still see like some progression on.
Oh, 1,000%. Yes. Yes.
To keep you interested and keep you going. I think of this a lot like climbing, where you're working on a specific technical skill. And I definitely feel a lot of, you know, strength as I move in that way. And like, I really can appreciate my body for making those moves.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, getting into this later on has kind of like grown you in other ways too, like mentally, like, may you not have looked at yourself or kind of dug as deep into your emotions if it wouldn't have been for breakdancing?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I will say this often, where I'm a true believer that breaking came into my life late for a reason, and that's to save me. It's to heal me. It's to allow me to see all the insecurities, the mindsets, you know, the self, the toxic self-talk that I didn't realize was so ingrained in me, and that I need to work on it, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it's, you know, I didn't realize I was living my life and I had all these things going on in my head, but I was sweeping it under the rug. And breaking forced me to like, to face it and to work on it, because, you know, at the end of the day, I want to enjoy my life. I want to be happy. I want to be at peace. I want to be healthy, and I want to break, you know?
Yeah.
And in order for me to do all of that, what I just mentioned, I need to do that shadow work. I need to do that inner work. And for me to grow physically, I need to prioritize the mental. And I didn't learn that until breaking came into my life. So much mental growth has happened to me in the, I would say the last maybe 2 years since I started breaking, you know? So it's wild. Breaking truly saved my life.
That's so cool. And such like an advertisement for breaking. I think oftentimes, like, I appreciate the fact that like, I've come so far with these issues, but then it's also like looking back on it, you're like, oh man, how much further could I have come if I hadn't had this like experience growing up, or issue growing up. But yes, appreciate it.
You know, that's where I would think like that too. But it's like, you know, life is life, and life brings us what they bring us at its divine timing, you know? And so, you know, because I would think the same way too. I'm like, oh, you know, I wish I started breaking earlier, then I wouldn't have to do this. But if that would have happened, I probably would still have the same insecurities, the same self-love issue, or I wouldn't have the self-love issue or things, you know, that I'm working on. I would have so much like cracks going on, you know, in my mental health, or, you know, if I can use that in this moment, if I would have started breaking early. So, you know, life really has our back to bring the lessons at the right timing for us to understand them.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm just like, I do this podcast for others to start new things, but I also do it for me to like, just learn from everyone that I speak with. And
oh yeah. I love this stuff.
Yeah. It's definitely changed a lot for me.
Yeah.
Going from that to like, we always ask this question, and I think it's a great time to do it. Is that any words of empowerment that you would give others who might want to try new things or maybe
Yes.
are, on their journey to try new things, but just need a little bit of encouragement?
Yes. So definitely just starting it off with you're never too old and it's never too late to pursue your dreams. And the reason why some of us think that we're too old for this is it's not we are too old for this. It's because societal norms tell us we're too old for this, or the people around us have already like accepted that we're too old for this. We shouldn't have to accept and be okay with it. Like, if there's a drive in us, try it and be around others who also think like that too. Who th be around others who empower you, who empower that drive that, yes, we can do it. Because when we're around the right energy, that's what will allow us to thrive. Something that I've learned is that, for me, for breaking, it's not about being around the best B girls or B boys. It's not around being champions that's going to allow me to grow. It's being around the right energy that supports me in my growth that's going to allow me to grow. So it could be someone at my level, someone at like maybe not even at my level, but they're in the right mental headspace to keep me grounded to pursue what I want to do. So for anyone out there who wants to pursue something at a later age, yes, you can do it. Yes, it's possible. Find a community that supports you and believes in you and who is your cheerleader, because that's going to be the energy to allow you to thrive.
Love that. Just giving it a little space. That's so great and so true. It's never too old and it's never too late. I was thinking about that the other day too, and I kind of was reading your bio, and I was just like, yeah, she's right. There's so many opportunities, there's so many things we can do. Like, it's never too late to just try something new.
And it's wild because just engaging with the people on my social media, there's so many people out there who I didn't like people there's so many people like, wow, I can do this. They need to be around others who are doing it too. And so that's what I mean about community. We need to surround ourselves or attract people who are also pursuing things at a later age. And they may not necessarily be breaking, but just something, because it's the energy that keeps us going. It doesn't have to be the exact same hobby. And so being in a that's kind of what I love about my social media at the moment. I feel like it's become a safe and empowering space for others to feel like, you know what? I when I go to Mel's page, I know I could do it. I know I could do this. I feel empowered. And that's what I'm talking about, is being around people who give you the energy to know that you can do it. And it's not anything like fake or anything like that. No, it's just an energy to support you. That's all we need.
It's like while we're trying to accept ourselves, it's really helpful to like have people around that already love and accept you and, want you to succeed,
Yes, definitely. That's like a very powerful like energy that allows us to grow faster. When we are pursuing those things, what has helped me is making prioritizing joy in the learning process. To not get down on ourselves or discouraged when we don't see the results that we want to see in the timeline we want to see it. To have this sense of gratitude, that like to thank our bodies that we can do this at this age, to thank life, thank the universe that it's showing up in our lives, that we can continue to do something that we love. And even though it's okay that it's not at the process and timeline that we want to see it, but like to be grateful that we're doing it. And so when we have that sense of gratitude, it also changes our experience as we're growing in this passion.
As, like you were saying, like so that positive self-talk that you keep telling yourself, it really does make a difference.
It
It
totally
does.
does.
It
And
really
being
does.
aware of who we're surrounding ourselves with that should be healthy, and empowering, and even the social media accounts that we are looking at should be healthy and empowering.
And you know, it seems like a simple lesson, but it's like it really is true. Like the different type of body positivity accounts I have been following have really helped me to feel more positive about how I look and how I perform. Like it really did change how I think. So it's seeing that positivity in action, and also, you know, yeah, so who you're around is like really, really important.
Oh, that is key for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah. You almost have to be, you know, when you're younger, you had your parents were kind of saying what you could and couldn't watch, like, oh, you can't watch R-rated movies or whatnot, or however you grew up, I'm not sure. But now, like, you kind of have to be the keeper of like regulation of, I'm not gonna watch this because it's gonna impact me negatively, I'm gonna feel bad. Like, you kind of have to be that person to stop yourself from engaging
You
with it.
know, and for even for that, like
Yeah.
sometimes it's just like being aware later.
Yeah.
It doesn't, we won't know until later.
Yeah.
And so there's that, like that awareness, that kind of, you start to fine tune that awareness as we're more in tune with
Yes.
knowing that.
Yes, 100%. And then any plugs that you would like to put out there?
Definitely. I
Okay.
would love to, you know, let everyone listening know that to follow the Confident Dancer, if you are looking to empower yourself through dance and to build confidence, anyone who wants to learn how to dance freely and confidently in a private or public space, you know, we're about to launch our 8-week program in April. And so stay connected with us, follow the Confident Dancers on Instagram and on TikTok, and we'll be sharing some really exciting information on how you can be a part of our program.
Okay.
It's an online program. We also have weekly, we'll have gr weekly group
Yeah.
calls, monthly live Zoom classes. You know, you can have some, you know, you can connect with me on the chat, and there's follow-alongs. I mean, there's tons of resources to get you know, to be a confident dancer.
And then your handle.
Is at B Girl Mel, BGIRLMEL. I hope B Girl Mel.
Awesome. Thank you for listening to another episode of Women in Power Active. You can follow me personally. That's at Jacqueline Gross, JacqueLyngross. I mostly take pictures of weird signs while I'm running. You can check out UR Sportswear. That's letter U, the letter R, Sportswear on all social platforms. And you can shop our products at yoursportswear.com. If you are listening to this and want to watch the video version, you can go to UR Sportswear's YouTube channel. That's the letter U, the letter R, space Sportswear. Both the audio and the video version of this podcast was produced by Jeremy Canaria and edited by me. You can support us by becoming a Patreon or subscribing to the podcast and writing a review. Thank you so much for being here, Mel. I really, really appreciate it. You are so awesome, and it's been such a positive conversation. I really appreciate it. And everybody should check out the Confident Dancers on TikTok and on Instagram. So thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you.